Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service this morning. We'd like for you to know, if you are new among us, that you are welcome here. No matter where you are on life's journey, know that you have a place here. I thank you for inviting me to return to be among you this morning to worship with you. And I want to remind us that we are an O&A church, open and affirming of the United Church of Christ, and I do greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. By our worship, may you know love and hospitality. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, this community of faith greets you with a warm welcome. Are there announcements?
Good morning, everyone. We especially want to welcome the Reverend Elaine Gutani to our pulpit today. Many of you will remember her as our former bridge minister and also a member of our congregation with her husband Steve. They live in Norfolk with three dogs. She wanted me to particularly mention the dogs. And they have six grandchildren, which brings them much joy, right? So the other thing is that she served two terms as a moderator on the board of directors for the Central Association of the Massachusetts Southern New England UCC Conference, and is still serving there as a board member, working at the state level for years and years, and we really appreciate what she brings to our congregation from that work as well. But she's currently working on a project with the larger UCC National Conference called Contemplatives in Action. Matt Carricker is working with her on that, with 12 others, and the goal being to bring more awareness and practice of centering prayer into our call for social justice. So that's something really exciting that's happening that Elaine is involved in as well. And she continues to serve, offer retreats, and serve in other ways at the state level and the conference level as well as a spiritual director. And she's honored and humbled to share the leadership with us today, and we are so humbled and grateful for you to be here. We also want to thank our other worship leaders today for what they offer our worship, our liturgists and greeters and ushers, and special thanks to Hank Sreder and Randy Brewer for making the broadcast of this service possible to our greater community. And just a reminder, we'll be humming the hymns today. And for those of you at home, if you want to send us an email with prayer requests or concerns, you can do that before the time of the reflection. We'd be happy to add that into our time of worship. And also here in the sanctuary, there are index cards in your pews that you can add for that as well. But I'd like to invite Doug Hanna up.
Good morning. Welcome from the Capital Campaign team. It's that time we get to announce our progress towards our goal. As you know, we're very close to our original $750,000 goal, but at our kickoff event, we learned of a very generous anonymous donor offering to match up to $100,000 of additional gifts at that point. So our new goal is, how close can we get to $100,000? So let's see, where are we? We are at 35,950 pledges, and because those have all been matched, that puts us at just under $72,000 total. So applause. We still have 5 weeks to go remaining in the campaign. Those numbers were as of this past Monday. I do know there are at least a couple more. So please look forward to the visit from our visitation team if you haven't had it already. We're very excited about this. And in a classic case of hogging the mic while I'm here, off subject but equally important, it is that time of year when we have to reconvene the famous FCC Snow Brigade. That team of volunteer shovelers saves the church thousands of dollars a year, literally, from our operating budget, clearing the sidewalks. Not the parking lot, nothing heavy lifting, just the sidewalks. And this year, we do have a couple of team members that are leaving, so we are in desperate need of new volunteers. If that's something that you think you might be able to help us out with, please contact either me Bob Psyche and Lane McDonough are also on the team and are re-upping this year, so if you have questions about, you know, how it works, contact any of the three of us. We'd really like to get the team members in place before Thanksgiving. You never know with New England. Sarah was reminding me that Halloween we had snow, so thank you all.
Okay. All right, and continuing with some other things that are happening this week. Next weekend is very, very busy. We have lots going on. So you'll see at the end of the service some scrolling announcements to look for, things you can do on Saturday and Sunday. Next Sunday is ONA Sunday. We're welcoming Candace Lowe to our pulpit, who will be, she'll be talking to us about the UCC Disability Ministries, and what she has to offer us will be really fascinating. I hope that you can all join us for that. But today after church, don't forget, this is an Environmental Action Sunday, so you can join us via Zoom to hear what Jillian Wilson-Martin is doing in the town with clean energy and solar. So please join us for that at noon. You can find those links in the link email. If you can't find it, text me, and I can get you that information. We're also going to offer it downstairs if you want to watch the Zoom from downstairs in the vestry. So welcome for that. And with that, let's get on with our worship service and the lighting of the Christ candle.
Thank you, Sarah. For those who are worshiping at home, I invite you to find a Christ candle or to have a candle of any kind nearby. And as we light this, we do so invoking, but also remembering that Christ is with us. Christ is always with us, and Christ is the light of the world. Let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness and come before God's presence with singing.
Our Lord is God who created us.
We are the people of God's grace.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving.
And enter God's courts with praise.
As we enter this worship, may we rejoice in God's grace.
And come before God with song or humming.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer, adapted from Psalm 100, as we say together, Eternal God, you have gathered us to hear words and to collect tools for the joyful tasks of working in your world and in the church. Be present with us now in these moments of expectation and surprise. Call us gently from our routines and startle us with your invitation to new vocations of discipleship. Grant us the comfort of knowing that through Christ we are never alone in our labors. Amen.
Amen. And now I invite you all to stand and to turn toward one another and greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ, which passes all human understanding, either by bowing and recognizing the God in me recognizes the God in you, or a peace sign, which is really fun. I'm so glad we can do this again, or just a kiss. So let us greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Elbows. Thank you.
Children to come forward.
Here we go.
Hi there. It's the season of cold.
It is the season of cold, isn't it?
It's cold.
That's right. So my mic isn't working great. I'm going to see if I can get it in a place where you can hear me better. Is that better, Hank? We'll see how that works. All right, otherwise I'll talk really loudly. How's that? But we all have masks on, so that's a challenge. So I want to tell you a story about a town that had, ooh, good grief. This is terrible. All right, we'll see how that goes. I want to tell you a story about a town where they had a river that went by the town, and it was kind of a big river, and they wanted to control it a little bit better, and so the town built a dam. Do you know what a dam is?
Yeah, it makes electricity.
Sometimes it makes electricity, right?
That's the most helpful use.
Yeah, so you put it across a river, and it holds the water back, and then you can control how much water goes past the dam.
So you don't, and you can, if they break, they cause giant
floods. Well, that's the story, Corbin, the story about a dam and how it might break. So this dam was made out of rocks like these.
That's
see how they're
a bad dam. That's a bad
dam. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a strong dam, and you can see, actually, I don't know what happened to my thing. I'll put it back, see if we can, there we go. See that dam in that picture? That's made of stones, isn't it? It's kind of like bricks. And this dam was made of stones. Each individual stone isn't very big or can't really hold the water back. When you put them all together, it could control the river and make it safe for the people living in the village that was right next to the river.
Okay, why not?
But one day, there was a big lot of water. There had been a lot of rain, and there was a lot of water behind the dam, pushing against the dam. There were some teenagers who were playing by the river, and one of the teenagers saw a stone was kind of loose, pulled the stone out of the dam. What do you think happened?
It fell.
The dam didn't fall, but the water started to come out through that hole where the stone had been, and it was like a fire hose, right? The water just kept shooting out, and then they knew they were in trouble. They knew that there was a problem with the dam, and so they came to fix it. All the engineers came to fix it. They brought more stones. They put more stones in there. And sure enough, and they did use some mortar probably too, and they fixed it. But see how this stone is just this little, one little stone, right? The stone that fell out of the dam didn't seem that important, right? But it was necessary. They needed that stone back in the dam to hold all of the water back. And sometimes
we can be a little bit like these stones, right? If you were a stone, and you were a stone, and you were a stone, and you were a stone, right? But all together, we are the community of God. We're the church doing God's work in the world. Yeah, so you can see how the stone, one little stone, might not seem like it's that important, but all together, we can be very important. So they fix the dam, and they save the town. That's the end of the story. Maybe they should move the town further away. But it's time to go back down to godly play and to connect. So you can go and see. Oh, I see your unicorn. That's wonderful. Have a wonderful time in godly play.
At this time of our worship, we have our offering, and I hope that you can view this as very much a part of worship, not just an act or not just a passing of the plate, if you will, which we are not passing yet, but you can find a plate in the back if you like, but also a time when we reflect on our gifts, our particular gifts, our call, and what it is, what unique stone are we that God needs to use. So at this time, I invite you to give your offering, and then we will have a prayer. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Oops, no, go ahead. I am so thrown off by not being able to hug. Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather together in one place. We cannot hug one another, we cannot touch one another, we cannot even kiss one another, but our love is felt through presence and through prayer. Thank you for the singing voices pre-recorded. Thank you for this incredible live piano right next to us, playing live music. Thank you for these beating hearts that are gathered in your name. And thank you for all of our gifts, however small and seemingly insignificant, or however large. May you use them to build up your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes out with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Here ends the reading for today.
Thank you, Jesus. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we hear the bells tolling throughout the town, gather us together in your Holy Spirit. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be more than acceptable in thy sight. Be a holy and sacred sacrament offered to you. Amen. Boy, these past 2 years, what do you say about these past 2 years? What do you say about trying to get back into worship when we are naturally, socially meant to connect and be with one another? I cannot wait to sing in public. Humming, I'm sorry, doesn't cut it. Even if I don't say a word, I need to mouth the words into my mask. These past 2 years of global pandemic have left so many of us at one time or another feeling like our work, our ministry, our contributions, our gifts, perhaps even our very lives have not mattered, have really not made much of a difference. We have been forced, have we not, into spending so much time apart from one another and doing everything in a new and different way, in a smaller way, with fewer people, with less travel, and far less socializing. For us introverts, that's not too much of a problem. For the extroverts among us, it is torture. At one point or another, there have been deep feelings of isolation. Have there not? How many of you at one point over the past 2 years have felt really isolated? Dogs, no dogs. Spouses, no spouses. So many people have reevaluated their lives during this time. Lockdown would have us believe that we are all alone, that we are isolated, that our contribution is insignificant and doesn't matter. We've been praying alone, exercising alone, some of us, cooking alone, eating alone, reading alone, cleaning alone, feeling alone. If we were blessed with one or more physical companions, family members, after a while, we even started feeling a little isolated from them, truth be told. Thank goodness for the human's best friend. I want to just say animals, but dogs in particular. I love cats, but dogs, chocolate labs in particular. Pet ownership has skyrocketed during the pandemic. More dogs have been rescued in these past 2 years than at any other time in history. So that's a really, this has been a great time for pets. People are looking for meaning, for generativity. We are built, it's in our DNA to be near others, to help others, to take care of others. Even something as simple or very demanding as a new pet. The big lie of COVID, friends, the big lie of COVID would have one believe that you are all alone in this world. And because you are all alone, your actions, your thoughts, your prayers, your way of life really doesn't matter. On a larger scale, churches have felt this collective state as well. Churches all across our nation, all across our world, have been limping along, while small bands of the faithful learn new technology that will somehow keep us connected, somehow allow us to still gather, somehow allow us to feel some semblance of a community of faith. There has been a literal Zoom boom. How many of you had even heard of Zoom 2 years ago? I never did, never mind learning how to navigate it. And yet we have seen the Holy Spirit move in the most mysterious ways through technology. God, I am convinced, can use anything and anyone. In our most recent annual meeting of the Central Association of Massachusetts Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, I honestly had a true epiphany, an experience, a vision, if you will. Now, trust me, annual meetings, annual business meetings, are not exactly the place where I even begin to expect a vision of God's heavenly realm, of God's kingdom here on earth. It's not that the attendance was great, or that people were overflowing with creative ideas and new initiatives. Most were rather exhausted. In fact, it was smaller than usual for our annual meeting. But I looked upon, you know, that Brady Bunch screen, and I scrolled across at the 75 plus people from Central Association that were there, and I witnessed each tiny small group, each enclave, as they shared their part about their church. I listened to their faith, their failures, their flaws. I heard them speak of different experiments, different initiatives, many which did not pan out or no one attended. I saw their tenacity, their stick-to-itness, and my heart in the middle of this meeting burst wide open. The amount of love I was feeling for these gathered folks was much bigger than my small Elaine self. It was as if for one tiny moment in time, I was blessed to see this gathering through the eyes of God, through the eyes of love, through the eyes of love that will not let us go, who will not desert us, who smiles with universal cosmic eyes upon our tiny little planet spinning in space with a vast universe surrounding it. And it mattered. It really mattered. We matter. The church matters. Each little tiny church zooming in from each little region of Central Association, zooming in to gather with each other and every other little church in small rooms, in living rooms, in some cases in bedrooms, in kitchens, in church offices, in empty sanctuaries, in barren fellowship halls, each showing up to be the church. You, my friends, have shown up these past 2 years to continue to be the church. And it's been hard, and it's no small thing. And that is when God showed me back in this meeting that this is, we are the church, right here on earth, as it is in heaven. Did you know that each of you is a bridge to the divine? Each of you has a connection to the divine and brings a piece of the divine to one another that no one else can bring. These tiny, tiny little bands of faith across the entire globe, and each and every one of them are part of God's building of the universal body of Jesus Christ, made up of many, many tiny parts. I had a momentary vision of every church in every town, in every state, in every country, in every nation around the globe, gathering in these small groups, from tiny villages to desolate landscapes and broken down or bombed out buildings, in house churches, and even, yes, the occasional church building. After that meeting, I thought this might be a good time to revisit that ancient old parable of the mustard seed that I studied for the first time when I was 5 years old in Sunday school. I thought I knew it. I thought I understood it. I thought it was a really clever example that Jesus gave. I mean, I have a jar of mustard seeds, and I don't know if you have ever seen one or held one, but they are impossibly, impossibly tiny. They truly are. And I don't know what people do with them when they cook. And if you use mustard seeds in your cooking, please talk to me after the service. So I have no idea. It was a time, and it is a time, for me to begin to truly understand it, or better yet, to experience it in relation to the church and Jesus trying to explain the realm of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is as if. And all Jesus can do is point and use metaphor and parables and examples. The kingdom of heaven is like the small mustard seed, smallest of all seeds that grows into the largest bush in a garden. And here's the thing, it makes a home for nesting birds who then raise their young babies. It's a small wonder that Jesus created 2,000 plus years ago a movement of love and salvation, a movement of miracles and transformation, a movement of resurrection where death no longer has its sting, starting with 12 people, ordinary people, regular people, Motley Crue type people who ranged anywhere from being shy or inarticulate to egotistical or really stubborn, materialistic, anxious, and any number of human traits that make up our human species. Is it any wonder that God poured God's very self into a tiny, tiny newborn baby? Through a young peasant girl, a teenager out of wedlock. And it dawned on me, God always starts small. Size and numbers can be such an illusion when it comes to faith, starting out with the tiniest inkling. Size and numbers can be illusion when it comes to church. Size and numbers can be an illusion when it comes to life itself. More importantly, size and numbers are an illusion when it comes to how God sees you. It's mind-boggling, actually. You are a small wonder. Yes, you. You are a miracle, and I believe in miracles. I know because I am a miracle. I would not be here this morning in this blessed moment were it not for the mercy and grace and healing and love of Jesus Christ. I believe you are a miracle too. You are a small wonder. I am a small wonder. God does big things with small little wonders, most especially when they gather, or most especially when they want to gather and think that they can't gather. God shows a different way of gathering. Through prayer, it's the original Wi-Fi, folks. Through love, through caring, through taking care, even in isolation, God has been gathering us up and has been very busy these past 2 years. The greatest irony of this all in our recent individual sense of isolation is that we as a human species have never, ever had more in common and have never been more together. We've never been more alike. We've never experienced on a global scale the same exact thing as one another across the globe. I loved those pictures, did you not, in Italy when they were singing to one another, and I swear I could smell the garlic as they were singing. We are in this together. We keep hearing that, but it means so much more than what we think it means. We have been facing our fears, facing our illnesses, facing our losses, facing uncertainty, facing a sense of powerlessness, facing, in some cases, even death. But may I suggest, or shall I say, may our faith in Jesus Christ suggest that our sense of aloneness is more like all oneness. We are one. The next time you are feeling alone, remember all oneness. And our small, tiny, little, insignificant acts of kindness or self-care or earth care or care for others, our prayer and our random acts of kindness have never mattered more. God collects them like the stones in the dam. God sees them as one large awakening. God uses them, each of them, all of them, each of us, all of us. And as the gospel, according to Tolkien's character, Gandalf, that wonderful wise wizard in The Hobbit, states, some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that's not what I have found. I have found that it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness, small acts of love. Let God use your smallness. We know for sure Mother Teresa allowed God to use her tiny little frame and her aching and longing for God, who she felt estranged from much of the time, if you know anything about her. She who said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And so she did. One dying person at a time, one leper at a time, one homeless person at a time, one rejected person at a time, one outcast at a time. As the saying goes, little acts of kindness are never little, ever. Somehow, God uses everything. And somehow, God's kingdom and God's realm of heaven is coming to us at a time in ways that the human species has never experienced before. There is an awakening going on. There is an evolution of consciousness going on. There is a call to be lifted up where love lifts us up. There is a call to realize that we are truly all one. We're one. We're one. Awaken to this reality that you are a small wonder, and that God has made her home in you like the birds of the air in that mustard seed. That our churches, where the Holy Spirit moves and transforms, are small wonders. And above all, remember this. As the old Baptist gospel hymn from my childhood proclaims, God is a wonder in my soul. God is a wonder in my soul, a wonder in my soul, a wonder in my soul, and I'm gonna bless his, her holy name. Go forth, little ones, like the sheep. Go forth and let your light so shine that your light draws people to the divine majesty of Jesus Christ. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to call for the cards for prayers. Dave, thank you. Are there any others? Yes. Emails.
I'll just read them.
Okay,
how's
thank
that?
You.
Okay. So we did get a couple of emails. Prayers for Amy Foley's mother, Joni, who's recovering from knee revision surgery. And the PT is physically demanding and takes a lot of willpower. So prayers for her. And also prayers for Heather Psyche's friend, Tom S., who is going through an extraordinary tough time right now. Prayers for Chris Nadeau and family. Her husband passed away unexpectedly Tuesday morning. And prayers for colleagues, Tom, Tim, Caroline, and Beth, as they work through tough life decisions. Gratitude for the growing number of returning and new faces to the sanctuary.
Continue with other prayer concerns that I would ask this congregation, this body of Christ, to please lift up the Haitian missionaries. I haven't heard any news in the past 24 hours, but I know you are well aware of 17 of them, 5 of them children, 16 from the United States. Not that that matters, but they are being held hostage, and Haiti itself is in shambles. And these young boys are brought into gangs as a way of survival. They start out quite innocent and beautiful. I have seen it myself. And they are coerced either to join a gang or to end up in jail. So pray, please, for Haiti. And God will know us by our love when the least of us, which is Haiti at this particular moment and so many other places on earth, is healed and is cared for and is loved. I'm praying for truck drivers this morning, truck drivers who work overtime, are underpaid, and are in such great demand. And this shortage that we've been hearing about, trying to get us to start panicking for Christmas buying in October, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Because I think the less we have, the more Christ will show up for us. God is the true gift. I'd ask you to pray for our 2-year-old grandson, William. He is having medical tests for a couple of seizures that he's had, and they're not quite sure what's going on in his little neurological synapses, and I just pray that he be healed and that he come to know God's love. William, thank you. Thank you. So let us gather together in a spirit of prayer. Oh, gracious God, we love you. And we know that you adore us, that you smile upon us the way we smile upon all of our children or the children of the world, that you feel for us more than a human mother's heart or a human father's heart can feel for their own child. You have made us somehow. You have made us in your image. Let us not make you just in our image. Help us to enter into the oneness, into the evolution of consciousness of the human species, of the awakening of knowing that we are on a tiny, tiny little planet, and we are tiny little pieces of it, and together we make up your very heart, your very heaven, your very realm, right here on earth as it is in heaven. Use our small, seemingly insignificant acts of kindness, O God. Bless all of our prayers and help us break through the illusion that we do not belong to and with one another. We pray all this in the very precious and miraculous name of Jesus Christ, who is among us this morning, praying with us the prayer that he taught some 2,000 years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In benediction. May the face of God shine upon you. May the seed of God be within you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Go forth as the people of God, as the body of Christ, and let this world see what a miracle you are, a small wonder that God can use to do great things. Praise be to the living God. Amen and amen. Amen.